found it very interesting that Corey just prayed with that analogy of the roses and the and whatnot, because it's really weird, because this year is the first year I've planted a garden, and of course, not really knowing, you put a seed and you water it, boom, all should be well. But I'm hearing all this advice, and I'll tell you the one that surprises me the most. I've heard it from several, correct me if I'm wrong, Gail, but they say when certain plants begin to flower, you need to prune off the flowers, prune the leaves, because that's when the fruit can come, you know, with certain plants. And that surprises me. It really does. But then I got to thinking about it, and it's like, well, the Lord says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and of course there is the almighty pruner in heaven. And sometimes what we think makes us beautiful and smell really good isn't the most beneficial to us producing fruit in our lives. Sometimes God needs to clip away ego, clip away what you think people are looking at. Look at me, I'm so beautiful, to really produce fruit in your lives. I love it. I love it. I am going to read a lot of scripture today, because I could not put this sermon to bed without, there was just always another scripture. It got to the point where I was like, maybe it'll be a two-parter, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Turn with me to Psalm 95. Who has their Bible? Come on. Hold up your word. Father God, we are going to hear from your word. You wrote this with us in mind. You wrote this knowing that one day we'd be sitting here, standing here, reading your word, your truth. Oh, this is a blessing. This is a privilege to read God's word. Amen. Psalm chapter 95. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the God our Maker, for he is our God. And we are his people, and his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me. Though they had seen my work for 40 years, I loathed that generation. For they said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Truly I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter into my rest. Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with iniquity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Before the Lord he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Sing, 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 sing. Why do we sing? What does it mean to sing? Well, I did a neat study and looked at some medical stuff this week. In the physical, singing has tremendous benefits on your body. Singing is a natural mood booster. It releases endorphins. They didn't put that in scripture because they didn't know what endorphins were. God did, but it wouldn't have made much sense back then. Singing helps improve lung function and oxygen intake. It can help improve memory, focus, and cognitive function. Why is it you can hear a song on the radio you haven't heard in 25 years? Kids, a radio is this thing. It's got these knobby things. No. You can hear a song you haven't heard in 25 years and bam, all the words just start coming out. The God who designed the universe also designed you. And he knows how you work. But more importantly, he knows how you can work better. Singing expresses emotions. It's like it gets rid of that barrier between your filter and your outlet. And just says, just let it out. And it lets you express emotions unhindered. Singing can also cause emotions and let you tap into your vulnerability. What did Jesus say about his Father? He is spirit. And we should worship in spirit and in what? Truth. Singing is a way to express your truth. And it's also a way to release pent-up emotions. Tell me you don't sing any more free than in the shower or in your vehicle by yourself. That's when it's you. Joyful noise. This is an important thing. Not joyful excellence, even though if you're an excellent singer, praise God, but sing to God. Effectually, you can remove your mind and soul from being an obstacle and connect to God spiritually. I had a prayer pastor coming up in Drayton Valley, and I asked her one time, what is the purpose of fasting? Is it just sacrifice? Is it just saying, God, I'm going to give this up for you? What is the purpose of it? And she said, yes, I mean, that's very important, but here's another amazing benefit of fasting. She says, you're always going to have three voices yelling at you or talking to you. She didn't say yelling. You're going to have God talking to you. You're going to have the enemy talking to you and trying to twist what God says. And you're also going to have your flesh talking to you, telling you what it wants. She said, what fasting does is it takes two of those right out of the equation, because your body will be screaming for what? Food. So you know what it's saying and it's easy to ignore. The devil will be screaming at you for what? Stop trying to do what God wants. Go eat something. Get him out of the way and you can commune with the spirit unhindered. I said, wow, that's amazing. Are you an artistic person? Did God create you to be creative? Because music, for some artists, is an incredible outlet. You might say, well, I'm not a singer. I'm not a musician, or I'm just not comfortable singing in public. Psalm 148 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters that are above. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded them and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from all the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind. Don't curse the weather. The weather praises the Lord. It fulfills his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven, and he has lifted up a horn for his people, praise for all godly sons, even for all the sons of Israel, a people near him, praise the Lord. Was that too overly cryptic? I don't think so. Was there a category you were not mentioned to praise the Lord? Everything in creation is to praise the Lord. And I already alluded to it, but in Psalm 100 it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. What would they think of us driving by on the highway if we were just always shouting? We should open these windows and shout. But I thought about this morning. Imagine every time you see your children, whether it's a daily basis or on the regular, whether it's weekly because they don't live at home, whether it's monthly because they live far away or maybe across the world and you see them a couple times a year. Imagine if every time you saw your children, they responded to you the same way you respond to God. Is your response to God where it should be that you can say, yes, I would like that? Or would you like every time God says hello, you say, hey. Every time you say, hi, kids. Hey. I love you. I'm so glad to see you. Is that how we praise God? Is that how you want your children to respond to you? What would that make God feel? God has emotions too. He created them. You can't create something that's not in you. So why do we sing praises to, and why do we worship God? Did you know all the Psalms were written as songs? I don't know if the word psalm means song, but these were written as poetry and praises and worship to be sung. So when you're reading the Psalms, get a little melody in your head. Praise the Lord from the heavens. I don't know how to sing in Hebrew, but why do we sing praises to God? Why do we do that? Why do we worship Him in music? I got a few reasons, and that's definitely one of them. One reason is this, it honors God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. He didn't say despise. But the importance is, those who honor me, I will honor them. That's a circle. Honoring God creates a cycle that he promises he will continue on his end. You might ask, where did it say the word I promise? Well, I ask you this. It says, therefore the Lord God of Israel declares. Did God say it? Yes. Does God lie? No. What does it mean to honor someone? I did a little search on the word honor, and the same word for honor in Scripture here is the same word that can be used to denote when a king promotes a common man. When a person is knighted or receives a title, that is honoring, that is glorifying, that is promoting that person. And that is honor. And you think, well, how does a noble person come to be? Well, they can inherit it from their father. They can marry into it. Or because of their distinguished service, the king can honor them. The great thing about being glorified or honored or promoted by God is this. The work, the requirements of service has already been done. It's already been done for you. The only thing you have to do to be promoted by God is believe in the King of Kings that promotes you. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, he has made us. That's a past tense word. Not he will make us. Not maybe he'll wait till we earn it. He has made us to be a kingdom, priests to God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so you think, wow, God really honors me. But the next obvious question is, well, how do I possibly honor God? What? And that's a fair question. Because obviously nothing we do can increase who God. God can increase us. But how do I increase who God is? I mean, I can't cause God to be more God, can I? What we can do is this. Listen up. What honoring God does, what glorifying God does, is make him more God in us. We honor God every time we make him the priority. We glorify God every time we deny other forms of worship or idols or distractions. We honor God by choosing God, by elevating his importance in us. And by elevating his importance in us, he says, I will elevate your importance in me. It is an endless cycle, honor to honor, that only one party can interrupt, and that is us. We can draw back, we can ignore, we can disobey, we can sin. God can't, and God won't. Why else do we sing to God? Well, it expresses love and gratitude. John chapter 14. Going the wrong way. John chapter 14 and verse 15 says, well, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do we express love to God? God's answer is pretty simple. And yet people have been trying to search for it for centuries. Here's the answer. How do you show your love to God? Do what Jesus says. Did that blow someone's mind? Did that blow someone's religion? Did that blow someone's doctrine right out of the water? It's that simple. If you love me, obey me. That's it. And verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and disclose myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. That is the most cut and dry. This verse can either uplift you, excite you, or on the other side, can make you dread and fearful. Why? Because you're either obeying Jesus and in turn obeying the Father, or what? You're not. There's no middle ground where he's like, you know what, that's okay there. I like lukewarm. That's a different message altogether. We spend so much time in religious practices. And I'm not just talking about us in this room. I just mean the church world. So much time developing ideas and programs and boards and committees and teams, and those have their purpose. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus's call, Jesus' commandment to the church is, love me and seek first the kingdom of God, which you won't do if you don't love him. Seek after his righteousness, which you're not going to do if you don't love him. And everything else will fall in. People don't like that everything else will just fall into place. Oh, we have to do this, this, and this. We have to do one thing. Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Obey what Jesus said. And you want to know what Jesus says? Begin in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And seek after his truth. Pray. Meditate on his word. Jesus isn't hiding. Jesus isn't maintaining distance, awaiting a specific ritual or a prayer or for you to say the exact right word. He's alive, both in spirit that inhabits us. We are the body of Christ. And he's alive in the word. The word is living and active. So when we sing a song that is biblically accurate, that's praising God in love and truth, because everything he says is truth. How do I know, and this is a tough question, but how do I know I love Jesus? How do I know I love the Father? I can't stand up here and tell you individually that, oh yeah, you love God, you love Jesus. I can't tell you that. Why? Because I don't know your hearts. And I can't tell you you love God any more than I can tell you how you love your children, how you love your spouse. I just pray and I see the evidence of that. But ask yourself this, what would you do if you woke up to your husband or your wife? What would you do if you walked into your children's room or your sibling's room and you said, I'm not sure if I love them? That's a scary thought. That would make me want to dive a lot deeper into that relationship if I wasn't sure I loved my wife. I do, by the way. This isn't where we're going with that one. Jesus can be a lot of things to a lot of people. He can be a savior or a shepherd. He can be a king or a brother, a healer or a friend. He can be a lover or a fighter. But there's one thing that Jesus should never be, and that is a mere acquaintance. He should never be a mediocre relationship. Because either you believe what the word says and what's in your heart, and you know you're going with him 100%, or you don't believe it. I don't understand the middle ground. Well, if I need him, I'll go to him. You know, Sunday's a great day. Monday to Saturday, I kind of like to do my own thing. How would that make you feel? If that's the case, I do pray that you seek help, and I do pray you dive into scriptures. But if that's the case, I can almost guarantee you that the cause is that your prayer life and Bible life or your study life are lacking. Because Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, as piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the intentions of the heart. A way to look at it is like this. I'm not going to use the Bible because that might get confusing, but I need a book thing. I'm going to use this. A way to look at it is like this. This case is your body. And as long as it's closed, everything meshes together. Everything is jumbled. And it can be difficult when you're not in God to differ between what is God's spirit and what is my own stinking thinking. But it says right here, the word of God is living and active, and it can pierce. It can cause a division so that your soul is there, your spirit's here, and you can clearly define the difference and not fulfill your earthly, sinful, fleshly, whatever you want to call it, pleasures, and you can know the will of God in your life. Any living being you spend significant time with will make them a significant personage in your life. This principle even transfers to pets, inanimate objects even. I know people that love things like their cars, their clothes. You know, it might be misplaced, but a relationship can be forged with whatever you spend time with. And it is not possible to be engrossed in the teachings of Jesus and live a life of prayer and live a life of love without him becoming significant to you. Psalm 100, verse 4. I already alluded to it, but it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." How many of you enter the church with thanksgiving on your lips every single week? Please no one raise your hand. A lot of us are guilty of this, and I myself have been as well. But too often, people come through those doors to grumble and complain. And we're talking about music. And as a music leader, you saw us up on stage this morning, we cannot force you by leading music, leading worship. We cannot force you to adopt a heart of gratitude, a spirit of humility, or a thankful voice. There's the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. We can lead the worship, but we cannot, and I don't know if you noticed this morning, but there was a powerful presence of worship. Those of you that recognize it and joined in know exactly what I'm talking about. Even if you're not a music person, and trust me, not everyone is musical. Even if you're not a music person, a song based in biblical truth is a prayer to God. So sing. Let yourself go. Put your own garbage on the back burner and let your heart praise God. Another reason we sing to God, especially corporately in this setting, it fosters an environment of unity. Matthew 18 and verse 19. "Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst." Let me say this, we are not now, nor were we ever meant to go it alone. The strongest person, the wisest person, the most knowledgeable person you know needs and understands that they need the support and cooperation of other people. It's just me and God, and that's all I need, is an incredibly dangerous way to think. Because even God, and let's just go on a limb here and say God is literally the smartest thing in existence, even God in his infinite wisdom created human and then said, you know what? Even with me in the picture, he's alone. I need to give him a companion. He tried every animal on earth and it still didn't work. No, he needs a suitable partner. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent disciples out, 72 of them, in pairs, not alone. Moses, the armies of Israel, as long as Moses held his arms up, was victorious, but he got tired. If he was alone, boom, they would have been slaughtered. But Aaron and Hur came up beside him and held his arms up. He probably looked kind of like a picture of Jesus. If you go it alone, I can guarantee you this. You will be disadvantaged by loneliness and bitterness, overwhelming circumstances, and never be able to accomplish what you could with others. So I ask the question, which is the title of the message, what's in a song? Do you really hear what you're singing, or do you just go through the motions? Everyone sing this with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What did we just sing? Do we just sing those words because it's a pleasant sounding song? What did we just sing? We sang about a grace. So amazing, so incredible to take my place, to pay my price, to cover my punishment for having a sinful nature. Romans 3:23, everybody knows. It says, well, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:24, I want you all to know. But being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. What did we just sing? We sang about a grace that is so indiscriminate, that is so unbiased, that no one is excluded from receiving. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking out for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself and a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Let these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you, parentheses, because God won't. Amen. We just sang about a grace. We sang about a grace that will always cover all sin for as long as Jesus lives and reigns. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20 to 21. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin reigns in death. Death is defeated. Grace reigns in the eternal life of Christ Jesus, and that will never end. Hallelujah. What an amazing grace. It's an amazing grace that does everything we need and more. We could spend 100 years working towards his grace and we still wouldn't achieve it. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Why can't we work towards grace? Because we are the work. This is what this word just said. It is though Jesus, as the carpenter, needed a hammer and nails. We're the nails. Grace is the hammer, and that binds us together in Christ. The nails were created as they are, and so was the hammer. We were created to be covered by the grace of God and nothing we do can earn it or make us more deserving of grace, because not one human has ever deserved the grace of God. The word grace, it gets thrown around so informally that we forget what it means to us. Let's say grace before we eat. Good gracious, child, if you're from the South. But if we truly bear in our hearts and spirits the meaning of grace, then wouldn't every word we utter be a testimony of God's grace that covers us eternally? I was a human with sinful nature. I was a despicable and evil person. If Jesus was oil, then I was absolutely water, unmixing. He saved this wretch of a man. I was like a match floating in the ocean with no chance of being lit or providing warmth. But, you gotta love a spiritual but. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Revelation chapter 19, sorry, chapter 3, and verse 19. To those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What do you think that sounds like? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. He's going to share a throne, he says. And I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. This verse tells me that every unsaved person on the earth is being sought after by Jesus and his grace. Hallelujah. What is the sound of amazing grace? It's the sound of Jesus knocking on the door of their hearts. And here's where we come in. Not everyone knows who's knocking. And that's what we have to do. We have to share this good news of amazing grace to let people know who's on the other side of that door and say, you gotta turn that knob. You have to pull it open and your life will be changed for eternity. It is not by works, but I tell you, it requires an act of faith that says, I'll open the door and let you in. And without realizing, if you remember your salvation, without realizing you were lost, you were suddenly found. Without knowing that you were blind and stumbling in the dark, you could see. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Sing another one with me. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy works thy hands have made. Isn't that great? In one sentence, that now I've been singing that song for the better part of 41 years or wherever I could, whenever I learned to speak. And I imagine there's people here that were singing it 41 years before me. But did you ever just read that beautiful first sentence? In one sentence, we acknowledge that God, the God of the universe, who created everything, that's my Lord, our Master. You might say my landlord, the one whose will supersedes my own. Try to fathom for a moment everything God created. And go with me if you will. Close your eyes. No snoring. Just close your eyes for a moment. Picture this. the ocean teeming with life, the deserts, a forest, a sun-soaked meadow, or even the Arctic. But go further and look at the cosmos in all of its beauty. Open your eyes. Do you know the one we serve did that? Oh Lord my God, awesome wonder when I consider all that. Whoa. How does that not leave us shell-shocked every time we think about it? You know, we paint a few rooms in the church, and beautiful job, but that seems to gain more attention than what God painted just across the street. I couldn't do that. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me, how great thou art, how great thou art. After I sit and contemplate God's glory, his works, his splendor, and I sit with my mouth agape, wow, then my soul, my mind, or my will, as though considering who you are, God, and everything you do, changes my focus to sing how great you are. And God, I want to honor you. I want to praise you. I want you to know how much I love you and how grateful I am for all you do. You showed me examples in Scripture of the importance of a point by repetition, did he not? Holy, not just once. Holy, holy, not just twice. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Once is a definition. Two gets the point across. That third holy drives it home. And how many times did Jesus say this? Truly, truly, I say to you. I mean, you got to think, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And before he talks, he wanted them to understand. Listen now, I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? No, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? He really wanted to get a point across. Or how about this one? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? I've heard scholars say, well, he did that because Peter denied him three times, so Jesus wanted to reaffirm him three times. Not sure if that's true or not, but I tell you this, Peter loves him, and Jesus made sure of that. So God, our ultimate authority and power, we use your example to say this to you. How great thou art, how great thou art. And turn with me to Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24 and verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. We're going to do one more together here. We honor Jesus by reminding him who he is. He doesn't need reminding, but he likes to hear it from our voice. Just as Jesus said, truly, truly, we say, I love you, I love you. None other can take that place in our lives. We thank Him for being the God of Psalm 91, who is our fortress and our refuge. We acknowledge that every breath we take is devoted to Him. Think about this. Every person in this room has 2 minutes to live. But the gift of a breath in resets that timer. That is the gift of life. Shout to the Lord. No whispers in this context. No internal thoughts. Stand on the rooftops and declare boldly to all the earth that He is your Lord. Nothing in all of creation is greater than the Creator. The mountains bow down. The seas roar, and at the same time can be stilled at the sound of His voice. We sing with hearts of joy at His works, being ourselves works of God. We emphasize forever our love of Jesus, that we will stand with Him. That's no small task, because even His closest friends fled from Him at His worst. No other promise will ever compare to the promise we have in Christ. Would you stand with me while we close, and we're going to sing praise and honor to our God.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, Lord, all that I am, let it never cease to worship You.
Come on, shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I sing for joy at the works of Your hands. Forever I'll love You, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in You.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Nothing will ever compare to the promise I have in You. Let every word I sing be of Me and You. Our brothers and sisters are all singing together, Father, but join us in this sweet, sweet chorus. We shout to You. We know You hear every tender whisper, but we stand here and declare we are not ashamed to shout to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord on the earth. Let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to my King. The mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name.
I sing for joy at the works of Your hands. Forever I'll love. stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Father, as we go today, remember, we don't go from God's presence. We don't go away from Him and say, see you next week. We leave this room. We may part from each other for a time. But this God that we just sang about, that gives you that funny and awesome feeling inside, you carry Him with you wherever you go. And every word from your mouth is amazing grace. God bless you richly. I can't wait to see you all next week. If you want prayer, if you want to stay in worship, you are released, but God bless you.